particularly serious note. We know that here in South Australia, with the demise of car manufacturing as an industry, with the news of Holden pulling out of Australia, and then interstate Toyota and Ford also making that decision in just the last few months, that in many ways we have to start looking to new industries, to other jobs perhaps. And slowly this has been something that we've had to turn our attention to anyway because of the changing nature of industry, and I guess highlighted and spotlighted by this move away from the manufacturing, and particularly car manufacturing. So what will the future of our jobs look like? What sort of jobs would you be training for in the future? Are there jobs that will become obsolete? Now, you might be able to put your finger on some as well. We'd love to hear from you. 1300 222 891. You can also text us on 0467 922 891. Morris Mizalowski is a business futurist, and he does this for a job himself. Look at the future of lots of different areas, including the future of jobs. So we thought we'd invite him on the program to discuss that, as something that is very close to the heart of South Australians, particularly at the moment. Morris, good afternoon.
Hello, Sonia.
It's been a pretty grim time for the traditional jobs area in South Australia over the last few months. Can you give us some bright news?
Well, it certainly has. I mean, there's nothing bright about the people that have lost their jobs or where industries have fallen away. Nothing good can be said. And time will hopefully heal and they'll be able to move on. But we are definitely moving into a new era of employment, careers and jobs. We're on the cusp of a third industrial revolution. We're living in a time, I believe, where our kids and grandkids will ask us questions like, were you around when? It'll be that monumental. And much of what we're seeing and much of the angst we're going through, and again, it's not a good thing, but it's a real thing, much of that angst is really building towards that new world that we're about to enter.
Mm. Morris, the move, is it simply away from manufacturing that's leading us to this third industrial area, or are there other areas that perhaps are reaching obsolescence?
There are lots of areas that are reaching obsolescence. If we think about in our lifetime, we've seen many of them. You know, the role of the typist, for instance, the role of the switchboard operator. We had all kinds of people that were employed, and lots of them through the 80s, 90s and beyond, and just not around anymore.
But we still have receptionists who sort of have a similar role. We have word processors or data inputters, so there's a similarity, is there not?
And that's exactly it. So what we're finding is that it's not so much that we're getting rid of the end result, we're just getting rid of how it's done, or we're changing over how it's done. So before we might have had a typing pool, and that was quite ordinary to have a number of people, we now have it as part of somebody else's job, and more importantly, it's often now seen as a part of everybody's job because the culture of work has changed. So manufacturing is not going to disappear. We will always have to produce and make objects, make things that you and I need in our everyday life. But the way that we're going to do it will disappear, and the amount of effort that's put in by a human being will also disappear, as it's been doing over the last 20 or 30 years.
One of our texters says there are always plenty of jobs in agriculture. People will always need to eat. Do you agree?
I do. But again, those jobs are changing. Agriculture is one of those industries in the last 5 years that has also become highly technological, highly geared towards robots and all kinds of other things. We'll be using human beings in those kinds of industries as well. We will definitely have to eat. But we're going to go back and use machines more in this routinized space, which is what's happened in manufacturing. The jobs that are repetitive, the jobs that are sometimes done better by robots, that's not to say people aren't good at it, but just from an economic viewpoint, perhaps robots are faster or cheaper, those jobs seem to be disappearing. And in our culture, as much as we lament it, and we do and should, it's harder and harder to find people to go out and pick crops. It's harder and harder to find people to do that routinized type work, which is another reason that employers and organisations are moving towards a different kind of space.
So you would think then, I guess, by what you're saying, that perhaps if we are less likely to want to go out and do those repetitive jobs, then maybe we're looking at jobs that require us to think more or to use our skills like that. But then when I say that, I think, but surely the burgeoning IT world means that thinking process often is taken over as well.
But it takes a human being, it takes a person sitting behind that IT process to make things work. For a bit of context around this, in the last 5 years, we've actually put on 5 times more jobs than we've lost. In manufacturing, we've actually increased by 8-fold in the same period the number of jobs in manufacturing than the jobs that have been lost. So we're definitely putting on jobs. I know that we're in a period of high unemployment in Australia, apparently high unemployment, somewhere around 6, that's probably going up to 6.25. But there are more people in the workforce now, there are more people looking for jobs, and there's all this other stuff going on around it. But it makes it appear that things are bad, and they certainly are for some people. Again, nothing can be said that will make that any better. But the reality is, I love to turn the figure around, and we're at 94% employed in Australia. And not many countries in the world, in fact very, very few, can say that.
Let's take a look at perhaps types of jobs then, Morris. We've talked about sort of areas, but can you talk about maybe some of the jobs that will be gone and some of the jobs that we don't even really know about yet that we might see?
Sure. Most of the jobs that are disappearing seem to be the ones that are around that routinised type work. So where the bank teller is somebody, again, who's we're seeing less and less of. There'll always be a need for some bank tellers, always be a need for some cashiers, for some receptionists, telephone operators. They seem to be the jobs that at the moment we're seeing less and less of. But more and more, it's becoming a part of someone else's task, or it's going off to some other process or activity. You know, we might, for instance, interact with a machine or an ATM or something instead of going and seeing the bank tellers the way we did. So they're the kinds of jobs that we're not seeing as much of. But on the horizon, there are lots and lots of jobs that we've never seen before that are coming in to a new normal landscape. There are jobs like data scientists that in America now are trending and price-wise are demanding $80,000 upwards. At the moment,
what does that mean?
Yeah, so it's a really unusual job. It's being sought by Google, Apple, and those sorts of companies. And what they're looking for is somebody who has the skill set to be able to look at all that dirge of information that's online. We spent 30 years typing in a lot of information online. Somebody who can look at all of that and make sense out of it and bring back what's called, what I call wisdom, bring back information to a company that makes sense out of all of it and says, out of all this information, this is really the bit you need to concentrate on and know about. That's a data scientist, one of the jobs that are definitely trending. But also a lot of the things that we're currently doing and having are going to be on the horizon. We're always going to have to eat, we're always going to have to clothe ourselves, we're always going to have to put ourselves in homes, educate ourselves, and move us around. Those jobs are still trending into tomorrow. And one of the largest sectors in there is healthcare, which we know will most probably increase employment-wise by about 13% in the next 2 or 3 years alone.
So those very intimate jobs or personal care jobs?
Personal care jobs. So high-touch jobs where we need people involved. We know that we believe that we'll live to 100, 120 years of age. We most probably will be able to tame or have a better understanding of a lot of the illnesses and ailments that we have now over the next 10 or 20 years. And we are moving into a wellness phase where people are now willing, in Australia and America and Europe, to look after themselves more than they did before. So anything around that healthcare is definitely a burgeoning industry of tomorrow, somewhere I definitely talk about as being a career choice for people that have that aptitude or that interest.
That's interesting because one of our Texas Martins says our new hospital, which we're building here in Adelaide at the moment, will use robots, no need for orderlies. So perhaps there's a concern that that's where we'll be going, that those personal care jobs that we value at the moment to have that one-on-one touch with may move into the machine area.
Yeah, I'm not so convinced that we'll get rid of all of those jobs. What he's saying is absolutely right. We're seeing more and more, again, of those routine jobs. That seems to be the word of the moment. Those jobs are going to machinery. There are all types of orderly machines that run around and might pick things up, move things around. There's also great equipment around that allows a doctor that might be in Adelaide, for instance, and she might need to consult to somebody in Melbourne or even in New York or in Botswana or somewhere to be able to jump inside a virtual robot. And the robot is actually in the other hospital or the other part of the world, and she's able to move it around and consult in it. And that's called telemedicine. And that requires not only the doctor's skill set, but it requires also the skill set of the people to build and to maintain the robots. It requires the nurses to be able to work with them. So we shouldn't look at this as being a future where machinery and robots are taking over our world. To me, they're a tool like a screwdriver and a hammer. We've got a bit more sophisticated by the sorts of things we can build to assist us in our work. I think that they're going to be just that, an assistant tool, and we're going to use wisdom, which is what people are really great at, to provide the higher order activities. And that tends to be where most of our jobs will be into tomorrow. The service industries, the high touch. Retail, strangely enough, I still think is strong. Construction we're going to need. All those jobs that we're used to will still be around, but they'll be using different tricks, different toys, perhaps, to give us our end results.
I'm talking with business futurist Morris Mizalowski here on 891 Afternoons. You might want to add your comments. Perhaps you've got a question for Morris. 1300 222 891 is the phone number. You can also text us on 0467 922 891. Narrowing it down, as you are, Morris, to some of the jobs we might be seeing, there may be those who are struggling with how we will make that transition from what we know now till then. Are you talking about people who are perhaps being born now, taking on jobs of this ilk in future, or are you talking about people who currently may be on a production line, moving into something else?
I'm talking about both. The reality is that for many currently, they're going to have to retrain. They're going to have to go back to a core skill that they have and find another way to make that core skill purposeful for an employer and for themselves. And that's a difficult transition. But certainly those that are coming out of school now, or will come out of school over the next decade or so, will have it easier from their mindset. Also need to think about the work environment that they're going to have, they being the people that are currently leaving school, is very, very different than mine as a baby boomer. Today's kids will have 6 careers and 13 jobs in their lifetime, and that's an Australian Bureau of Statistics statement. They're going to...
It's so many!
But if you think about it today, the average tenure of a person today is about 2.4 years. Again, Australian Bureau of Statistics, about 2.4 years, 3 years, somewhere there. So when you put it into that context, in the context of a normal work span for you and I, that's still not that far off.
Well, I'm just trying to work it out, though. If you have a normal span working life, you're probably only working about 6 or 7 years in any one career.
Yeah, and that's about what we're seeing, what we will see. And what we will find, I think, is that people will use core skills, things they're really good at, aptitude skills they have, and they'll then be able to mould in and out of a different career, or perhaps have one or two careers going at the same time. I know that sounds messy and difficult, but it's pretty much the way that a number of people are beginning to work already. That 9-to-5 notion of Monday to Friday, for many of us, doesn't exist anyway. It's a Hollywood myth that we wish would come back. We seem, for all the wrong reasons, I think, but we seem to be spilling over between 9 and 5. We seem to be spilling into weekends, working all kinds of different times. And today's kids work more to project and task than they do to hours. In other words, you give them something to do, that's Generation Y and X, and they will want to complete that task, but not always as interested in doing it in a 9-to-5, Monday-to-Friday context.
Mm-hmm. Well, Morris, I guess as people prepare for these next few years, as jobs change, and I guess that's one of the only things we can accept, that things will constantly change, how do you prepare for that? What should people be learning? What should they be advising their children to study?
With kids, I think the first thing we have to do is to understand that their world is significantly different. We've said that already. My career choices were quite limited as a baby boomer. I was told to finish off my school and then move on to an employer. The employer would see me through most of my career, hand me over to a government, and then hand me over to my family. That's not the case for them. What we have to teach them is that they have to have good core skills. They have to know who they are and what they're capable of. The education system of today, I think, also needs to change gears more away from the 3 R's, which I know is a difficult thing to say because we were all brought up on them, to understand that we're educating our children for a world that we don't know about, that we can't know about, into tasks and industries that they will invent in many cases. So we need to give them good core, skills, and I refer to that as the 3 C's. We need to teach them to be able to collaborate. We also need to teach them to be creative problem solvers, and to be able to communicate. And to me, they're 3 really important skills, as well as the 3 R's, that our kids need to know in order to be able to innovate their lives, to be able to move through 6 careers, 13 jobs, live to 120, and do the things that we expect that will be normal for them, but today seem extraordinary.
Morris Mizalowski is my guest. Let's go to Highbury first. Hello, David.
Good afternoon there. I'm wondering about 3D printing. There's been a lot of talk and hype about it, how groundbreaking it's going to be, and it's going to change the world, etc. And I'm thinking it's sort of like Microsoft and Apple were many years ago and the beginnings of the internet. Is it all it's being hyped up to be?
David, that's an interesting question. Have you seen one yet?
No, not myself.
Oh, well, go into the City Library. They've got one there. It's fascinating to watch how it creates things. Morris, it's a good question from David. Could 3D printing be the start of a whole new area?
Oh, it absolutely will be. 3D printers have kicked off a whole new industry. 3D printers are, for all intents and purposes, like an old dot matrix printer. They print layer upon layer. And instead of printing a flat piece of paper with writing, it actually prints an object. So you can print a glass object or even a glass to drink from. And there was an article in one of yesterday's papers where we will be able to print homes soon, literal houses, and also be able to print hearts and arteries and body parts. That's also in the horizon over the next 10 to 20 years.
See, I don't know if anyone else is struggling, but having that thought in my head and trying to work out within my current parameters of knowledge how that will work is almost mind-blowing.
What we'll see is that this will be part of a continuum of ways that we will do things. I don't think everything will always be 3D printed, but we'll have the ability to be able to 3D print some things, to make them by hand, bespoke, as we always have for great craftsmen, and then in between we'll have some kind of mass-produced object as well. So I think it's just going to be part of that. But what I find it most exciting is, in fact, in the medical sphere, where they're talking about, and these are credible hospitals around the world, talking about in the next decade or two being able to print spare parts for our human body so that we won't need to wait for transplants.
Well, I guess all we've got to do is think back 20 years ago. If we take the internet as an example, I remember when I first heard about it, it was like, well, how on earth is that going to be useful in our daily lives? It's just going to be a novelty. And yet most of us these days would struggle to live without the internet.
And even if we're not on the internet, if we find out how influenced we are by it and what happens on it, you're absolutely right. It's become as ordinary as air, as ordinary as gas and water. And in fact, it's seen as a basic human right now, pretty much across the planet. 3D printers, all the things we're talking about, are really only just beginning. So the analogy is absolutely right. It's wondrous where we might be 20 years from now.
Morris, before we let you go, it seems like this whole new future is developing a whole new language set. Intrapreneurs is something of the future. Can you explain what that would be?
I certainly can. So intrapreneurs are like entrepreneurs. It's a new statement of a person working within an organisation. So it's an employee. It's part of what might be their job specification. What it talks about is that person being like an entrepreneur, but within an organisation, looking for ways to innovate, looking for ways to do things differently, to get more out of what they currently have or what their current organisation does. So that's the new spin on intrapreneur.
Excellent. Well, look, I guess we'll be able to know in a few years whether your predictions are correct, but things are moving quickly in these new areas. But you are confident that we will see more jobs or equal numbers of jobs despite the influx of machinery doing many people jobs?
We absolutely will, but again, they won't be in the traditional 9-to-5 manner that we know now. We're going to be working very, very differently over the next few decades. And what's really important always is to remember that the future is not something out there that's already been created. It's created by human beings, by you and I. We have to decide how much or how little of these things we want and bring them into reality before we can ever use them. That's a really important thing. It's not a fatalistic type activity. It's up to us to decide. We have the knowledge. We've got the ability. Do we want to use it or not?
Thank you for your time today. Morris Mizalowski is a business future. On 891 ABC Afternoons. What job will you be doing?